Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Judges, just for introductory for our theme on Gideon. On Gideon, that's our theme today. So just for a moment here, let's, Lord Jesus, this assembly has gathered in your name for your spirit to speak to us from your word. Minister to our hearts. Anoint the message and the fellowship after and during, and prepare our lives, Lord, as we live in a troubled world. Yes, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to get context. I hope I don't speak super long, just a few minutes, but I want you to think about the context of Judges chapter 6 and the story of Gideon. And so if we were to draw a map of Israel, something like, let's say, something like this, we have the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, and that's the nation of Israel, like you'll see in a minute. They came up from Egypt, and they came up on this side of the Dead Sea with Moses, and they crossed over. Moses did not cross over. They went back 38 years later. They were walking around in the wilderness, and then Joshua led them up to this point, and Joshua and the people went over into the promised land. They went 7 years. They attacked right into the middle. They went south. They went this way. They went up, and basically they conquered the land. There were many nations in the land. There were about seven different people groups. The ones we hear, you know, you have the Canaanite people. There were scattered groups. There were nations that had been living there for hundreds of years. We might say they were the Aborigine people, but actually not. 400 years earlier, Abraham was there, and God gave the land to Abraham, even though he didn't have it, but he had it by promise. And that's another message. But Joshua went over, and the Lord said to the people, if you obey me, you will take the land. The enemy will run away in seven directions. You will have victory, and you will take the land. But if you don't, the people will be thorns in your eyes. They will oppress you. They will be a problem for you. If you don't drive them out by obedience to me. So there's a spiritual concept here, authority, God's authority with people that would follow God, obey God, and your enemy runs, he's gone, he can't handle it, he runs away. He may fight, but he's at a disadvantage. So this is the history. Through the book of Judges, you see that the Jewish people were disobedient to God, and they would worship the pagan god Baal, which was the fertility god. And the idea was, if you worshiped him, then you will be fruitful, fertile. Your land will produce food, your cows and cattle, goats and sheep, and your children, you'll multiply if you worship Baal. That's what they did. They did what the people in the land did. So Judges is a story of how these oppressions happened. So Ephraim, you know, like a section of the country is oppressed, and actually it covered the whole country. There were different periods. But Gideon is being, the time of Gideon, the Jews are being oppressed by the Midianites. And that's where we read here. We could say that this is the world. The world oppresses us in our faith. The world leads us to sin. The world worries us and troubles us. The world oppresses you, accuses you, and tempts you, and works to destroy, or allows us to live, but without God. Without God. If you have God, you end up above the world, in it, but you have power over it. You know? So that'll be our theme today. Okay? It's a fantastic thing to find in the world. We could say it this way, that in the world there is somebody like Gideon. Another way of looking at it, in the world, where they say, "Who are you?" They say, "Who are you? You have to take drugs. You have to lie and cheat. You have to sleep around with people. You have to, you know, this is the world. This is what everybody does. This is the age we live in. This is the time. This is our time. This is the world says by its spirit, you don't have any choice. I am in charge. You know, back off. Get in your hole or your cave." Because it says here, the Jews lived in caves. They were afraid. They were oppressed. And the world spirit says that to us. But so that's our message today. Our study, we'll look at the text and make some comments. But the world is like that. But then there is another spirit, the Holy Spirit. There is Christ. There is the freedom, there is the authority, there is the blessing. There is the work of grace. There is the work of God. That's Gideon. Gideon represents us in this world. So that'll be a fun, you know, meditation this morning. Blessed. So welcome Pastor Shibeli up. He's going to share for a few minutes. Thank you, Pastor, for your faithfulness and love, your faithfulness, friendship, love. Faith.
Hallelujah. I brought Pastor Eugene up here because he's going to be a number of things right now. I'm looking for somebody to fix my car, and I come to you, and you say you're an accountant, right?
I'm an accountant.
It's not going to go over too well, is it?
No.
Then maybe I come to you, will you fix my car? I'm a nurse. It's not going to go too well. I'm a businessman. When I come to you and you love the word. He, by the way, he's a man of the book. He really is. That's the key. Thank you. There was a man, I was reading a story about a prisoner in a communist jail. His name was Shifflin. And he went blind, which was so sad for him because the thing he loved the most was to read the Bible. And he lost his eyesight. And he didn't know what to do. So he prayed to God. And then God gave him somebody that would come in every single day and read him the Bible for 2 hours. And so he could just listen. Because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by the word of God. And that was a great answer. And, you know, we just came back from the Bahamas, an island, and It's sad and brokenhearted for me to see how few people really, even as Christians, know the Bible or even have a desire for Bible or Bible training. This is the beginning of Bible school, right?
Yep.
Is this the beginning of Bible school?
Yep.
Yes. What?
Yep.
Yeah. It's the beginning of Bible school. I estimate, with my great figures of estimation, that 3,000 people in the ministry will attend Bible school this week or in the next week or two around the world. In Africa alone, there's 1,200 students that will be coming to Bible school. All of them, by the way, not just taking courses from nationals who are teaching, but watching Pastor Stevens and Pastor Schaller's class and my classes. So they're kind of like looking in on what's actually going on. And how important this is. Maybe you're thinking about it, maybe you've done it already or whatnot, but how important it is for us to be people who learn the Bible. How many people here, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. How many want to please God? Okay. How many? Yeah. Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
Faith cometh by?
Hearing.
Oh, did you put that together? Please God, faith, word. Say that. Please God, faith, word. This is so important. How important. I got some news when I was away on this trip and came back, and somebody in my family was found dead in Lake George in a motel room. And it was very sad. It's a sad thing for me to think about this, but more so than that, when I was talking about the Bible and I got saved in 1976 and decided to go to church and go to Bible school, he did nothing but constantly mock me, constantly mock the Bible, mock God, mock the Word, mock everything. And I thought, how sad that he never received, I don't know, maybe he got saved, I don't have no idea. But I was thinking how many people are distracted by the enemy himself to keep them from the Bible. What did Jesus do when he was tempted in closing? What did he do? In Matthew 4 and Luke 4, what did he say? Oh, by the way, I've got a psychological thought pattern for you to follow so you might get it together someday. It is what?
Written.
It is written. He quoted this is the living word quoting the written word. So the living word studied the written word. Isn't that remarkable? Hello? Isn't that remarkable? The living word studied the written word. And he gave the written word as an answer. This is the living word studying the written word. How important it is for me to study the Bible. And I love it. This guy Shiflin, when the Bible was being read to him, he got the best shirt he had, put on a little tie, cleaned up himself, combed his hair, and whatnot, and got ready and sat there and just listened for 2 hours to this man in prison reading the Bible to him. And that's amazing. So we have a great opportunity coming up very soon to be people who can just come and listen to the Word of God, graduated or not, doesn't really matter. In other words, like, do I actually ever graduate from learning the Bible?
No.
I don't think so. I haven't found that to work too well. But of course, that's your decision and whatnot. I'm not saying people have to do that, but think about it. Coming to learn the Word, taking maybe a course, coming to Pastor Schaller's class, coming to a class on Friday night. And he said this, I love this, what Shiflin said, 119.97. Oh, how I love thy doctrine. It says law, but it's Torah. It is my meditation all the day. Say, oh,
oh,
oh, how I love thy law, thy doctrine. I love it. And that's the key. God, help me to continue or to learn to love the Bible. It's not about studying the Bible and learning the Bible first and foremost, but it's about give me a love for the Word. Give me a love for the Bible. Because heaven and earth will pass away. I have a real love for the things of the earth. Goodbye. Goodbye. It's going. Oh, how I love thy doctrine. It is my meditation all the day. So consider Bible school. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the Midianites were in control of Israel and they were oppressing the people, let's read Judges 6, verse 1. And I have the Amplified. I wonder if we have the Amplified on our screen. Can we put that up? I don't know if we can. Can we read the Amplified? But the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Mm-hmm. In the hand of Midian, by the way, timing-wise, we have the Jews came out of Egypt, and that was miraculous and very fundamentally important to the Jewish mind. How did we get out of Egypt? How did that happen? How did that work? Did we have a big military? Did we have a lot of organization? Did we bring out weapons? Did we bring out food supplies? How did that work? How did we get out of Egypt? And the only answer is God. So they knew that. Now 40 years have passed. Joshua has now gone into the land, and Joshua has died at the age of 110. So we are about 30 years later. We're somewhere between 70 and 100 years, maybe a little more, after coming out of Egypt. So do the Jews remember coming out of Egypt? Like, what's my mindset? Why are the Midianites taking all our food? Why are they taking their cattle and their sheep, and they're taking from us? And Gideon is threshing wheat and hiding it from the Midianites. This is in the story here, verse 7, 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Why? Because they sinned. Because the Jews were sinning. And that's a lesson in itself. Are we in America sinning as a nation? Are we sinning? Are we promoting ungodliness as a nation? Have we departed from God? And we could say yes. There's, but then scattered through the country, there are people like Gideon who are also saying, what have we done wrong? Why are we being oppressed? Why is my life miserable? Why are we in trouble? Why am I depressed? Why am I unhappy? Why am I poor? Why am I hateful? Why am I angry? Why am I worried so much? Gideon could say, let's read the text. Okay, verse 2. You're like sitting there, yes, we want to read it. Would you please read it? Verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against his, because of Midian, the Israelites made themselves the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. I can't help but tell you an experience I had. I was in a third world country that was communist. And the mother, one of our disciples, the mother was a young girl. Her father was Italian businessman. He had an orchard in Albania. I'll tell you more about it. It was in Albania. And it was Francesco's mother. And I stayed with them a couple nights in Albania with someone else. We were together. And Francesco was born again, and he said, my grandfather, the communists killed him, took all the orchard, and my mother had to live in this cave, in this mountain. And he showed us, and we talked to the mother, with no house, everything was stolen, everything taken away by the government, everything gone, and she is a little girl, grew up in a cave, in a mountain. I'll always remember that. Verse 3. For whenever Israel had sown their seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, came up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the crops as far as Gaza and leave no nourishment for Israel, and no ox or sheep or donkeys. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came like locusts for multitude. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they wasted the land as they entered it. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the Israelites cried to the Lord. And when they cried to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites who said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage." All right. Do you follow that? They're in trouble. They cry out to God. God sends a man of God, a prophet. And he says, do you remember you were in Egypt? Do you remember that God brought you out of Egypt? Yes, that was like years ago, more than 100 years ago. We heard about it. But that's God. That's God. Christ was raised from the dead. Have you heard about that? No, we have forgotten about that. That doesn't help us right now. Christ was raised from that. That doesn't help us. We are in trouble. I can't pay my mortgage, or I cannot, my girlfriend left me, or you know, any number of these things that people have. We are in trouble. Don't you see? We are in trouble. And the prophet said, Egypt, remember. Egypt, you came out of Egypt. Remember, Egypt. Go back to church. Remember, Egypt. What did Jesus do? Remember, what does the Bible say? What's the message? This is why the prophets of the Old Testament had the Spirit of God and the mind of God, and the teachers of the New Testament, that's us, we have the Spirit of God and the mind of God. We need to hear what God says when we live in this world, because this world will steal your stuff. It'll steal your life, your donkey, your camel, your land, your food. This world will steal your life. They will steal your children. They will steal your future, your hope, your faith. They will steal your life. They are thieves. The devil is a thief and a robber and a liar and a murderer in John chapter 8. Okay, so let's go to chapter 6. The same text we'll read. It says, the prophet said, verse 9, "And I delivered you out of the hand and out of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Don't fear them." Don't fear them, right? Don't fear the world. Don't fear death. Don't fear COVID. Don't fear the government. Don't fear other ideas and ideologies. Don't fear people. Don't fear what the world is saying. Do not fear this world. Yeah, but they're taking, I have no authority, I have no power. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. No, we don't have any. Yes, we do. We have a message. Yes, we have God is with us. Yes, we do. We have God, and we have men of God and women of God and the Spirit of God. Let's read verse, chapter 6, verse 11. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the yoke of Ophrah." Now, who is the angel of the Lord? Jesus. It is Jesus. It's the Old Testament phrase for the manifestation of God in a human body, in a body, not human, but appearing and disappearing like an angel. He can go up and down. He can appear and disappear. He appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18. He appeared unto Daniel in the book of Daniel. We have the angel of the Lord. I saw the Ancient of Days sitting on a throne in Daniel 7. Here we see it later with Samson's birth. Before Samson was born, the angel of the Lord came to Samson's mother and father. And here the angel of the Lord is sitting under the oak, an oak tree. It says in verse 11, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he's beating wheat in undercover, just trying to stay away, because usually the military is on the main roads controlling the society. So you're not on a main road, you're on a back pathway. You're hiding somewhere. You're trying to hide your food from the invaders. There's a book I read, a Napoleonic soldier or footman, the life of a Napoleonic footman. Sorry, I can't remember the title. Anyway, let me explain. The French invaded Russia, okay, with Napoleon's ambition. And it was a total collapse, total failure. So the French that were not killed tried to get back to France. And it took, in this case, 4 years for this Frenchman to make it back. He survived to get back to France. And hiding food, the Russians would hide food because the French would eat it and take it, and the Russians would starve. So they would go to great lengths. They would dig a pit, hide the food in there. They put a wood pile on top of the pit. I mean, cover it with dirt. They would put a wood pile there. They'd do everything they could to save their food so they could survive through the winter. In a similar way, here, you have Gideon hiding food for his animals and to live. And that's not a good way to live. That is so sad that our life would be reduced to something that's so severely important, and so we are so oppressed. But there is a spirit in us. Please always remember this. There's a spirit in us that the world doesn't like it. Because we have this authority. We have this. There is a spirit of God in the church. There is a spirit in us that affects our life and our thinking. And we're able to say, no, we're not the tail, we are the head. And we understand something. We came out of Egypt, read my lips type of thing. We came out of Egypt. Our God is a living God. Our God, I don't need fentanyl. I don't need a woman or a man or a lie or a business or a government that's going to control my life. No, we have, this is the thing. I don't know how to say it. There's a famous phrase, but the Spirit of God is the thing that the spirit of the world cannot handle. And they don't like it. Because the Spirit of God will raise up somebody. Now, the guy that is raised up here is like hurting. He's like a nobody. He's hurting as a person. He's like a nobody. He's like very inferior, very weak, very discouraged, very negative in a way. He's like very negative, but the angel of the Lord is sitting there under the tree, and this is Christ. And when Christ talks, when Christ ministers to you, and you begin to believe, and you are a worshiper, you know, this affects our life. So the meaning here. Well, go to chapter 6 and verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of courage." Fearless courage. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage. Now, I don't know who you're talking to. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Gideon. Yes, you. So Gideon says, verse 13, "Oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, why is all this befallen us? Where are all his wondrous works of which our fathers told us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us, given us into the hand of the Midianites," or given us into the hands of a political party, or given us in the hands of a tyrant or a dictator, given us into the hands of something that we don't have any control over. That God has given us, delivered this over us over to this. The Lord's turned to him, verse 14, and said, "Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Now, regarding pastors, this I want to bring up for a moment. Pastors, you are sent. You are ordained. You are sent. It's an honor. It's an honor to be a pastor. If God ordained you, if God is with you, if God has spoken to you, if you have followed God, if you know God, then stand as a pastor, as a helper, as a servant. Not like we are, that pastors are or some special class of people. They aren't. On the other hand, Paul said to Timothy, "Remember the prophesying that went on you when you were ordained. And don't give it up." Like that's your calling. That's your place. That the Spirit uses you and speaks to you. And that you went to Bible school to learn the Word and gave your heart to this and walk in it and fulfill your calling. Remember Archippus, Colossians 4:17. Archippus, take heed that you fulfill your calling. Meaning take heed means pay attention to it, that you fulfill your calling, because there are people that need a message. They need a challenge. They need a vision. They need to believe God is with us. Let's believe God. Let's do the will of God. Let's do it. Let's have faith. And now the story about Gideon is that he's so cautious and he's so timid, but he's going to get there. And actually he ends up like being encouraged many ways. I think of three in particular. That's not many, but it's three profound ways. He's encouraged. It grows. His encouragement grows. Because whenever you and I are discouraged, it takes time to get out of it. Like, it's not an automatic encouragement pill or something. It's something that needs to develop in your heart and the Spirit lead you in it. And that encouragement may even take years, but it's happening and it's God. God is helping you. You are changing from being this guy hiding and this man that's, he speaks about himself here. Go to chapter 6 and verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not? I sent you." Gideon said to him, "O Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man." That sounds to me like you're going to do it yourself, not like with a team or an army. And he did have, as you read the story, the 300 people that were with him in it. But the Lord is saying, no, you're going to do it. You're going to do that. I love hanging out with Pastor Mati through the years, because he would say, I have a vision for Azerbaijan. I would like the whole country, like Korea, turned to Christianity from 99% Buddhist in like a couple generations to like 60% Christian. Like, I would like Azerbaijan to have. Well, how could that happen? Oh, I believe God could do that. God could do that. He could take a country. God could take a city. God could turn things around. God can answer prayer. God can help us in our families. God can turn our finances around. Our attitude about life can be turned around. Our depression, our anxiety, our fears, all this stuff that many people live in can be turned around by just being spirit-filled people that are listening to what Jesus is saying under the oak tree. Just under the oak tree, he's talking. And he's saying, you're the man. Yeah, and Gideon could be like, I need more men. No, you're the man. You're going to do it like one man. One man, one man. You're going to turn this whole thing around. You're going to do that. Well, we are the body of Christ. We are the one new man. We are the messengers of Christ in the world. Okay, let's finish up here. It says, Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. Do not leave here, I pray you, until I return to you and bring my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you return. So he's saying to Jesus, I'm going to go get an offering, because talking to you, I feel like that. I feel I need an offering. Like talking to you, I feel like we got to do business. I need to get an offering. He said, I'll wait here. Verse 19. Then Gideon went in and prepared a kid in unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth in a pot, and brought them to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and there flared up fire from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. That's quite an encounter, isn't it? I bring the offering, the angel of the Lord touches it, goes up in fire, and then the angel of the Lord goes up, he vanishes, he disappears. I have been talking with God. God and I are in right relationship. God is on our side. He has heard our cry. God is raising up something. He is doing something, and it's from God. This is God's way, not man's way. This is how life changes for you and me. Yes, when we have the people of God talking to the living God, giving us direction, and it takes some courage to hear what God is saying and walk with God. And when we walk with God, not our way, but the way of God, the way of the Spirit, the way of truth. That's why we say Bible doctrine is so important, because it's when we kind of get our heart into the Bible, and the Bible starts to speak to our hearts and our spirit, and we believe God for things, and things can turn around. I mean, people can get healed. I mean, people can get saved, and they do. I mean, people have courage. I mean, I was thinking last night, Lord, you sent people from Poland to come to Bible college. Oh, bless those people. And you will send them back, perhaps, but raise them up. And then you sent Zsombor from Hungary here 3 years ago. This is his fourth year. And he was there this summer. And, oh, Lord, is your hand on him? Yes, it is. Your hand is on him. And we can name the young ladies that have come here, Mariana and many others that have come. What an honor. And then Finnish people. And then a brother from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who came down here for Bible. And another brother from Ohio, Youngstown. And he came here to go to Bible college. And Lord, could it be like this? That you could be like sitting under the oak and talking to these people. And they could get it in their heart. But Gideon is still not sure. The beautiful thing about the story, he goes like, don't get angry with me, but could I put a fleece out? You mean you just saw your offering go up in flames and Jesus Christ go up into heaven and still you need more assurance? Yeah, if you don't mind, I could use that. Now the third one, I'm happy I got these three. The third one was, no, there was four. The third one was, Gideon, you have to go to the city and where there is the Baal image, you have to tear it down. You have to tear down that idol. And Gideon did it at night because he didn't want to be seen doing it during the day. And he got found out about it. And that was, and then he did the fleece test, and then the last one, this last one, he's saying, the Midianites are encamped. There's so many of them, like the sand by the seashore. So many Midianites there everywhere. And he's afraid. He's afraid of how to do this, what's going on. So the Lord said, go down to the camp of the Midianites, like incognito. Just stand by the sentry guards and listen to what they're saying. And one of them said, I had a dream last night. And the guard is talking to the other guard. You know, I had a dream last night. And he said, what was it? He said, I saw this barley cake come rolling down the hill, smash into a tent, and turn the tent upside down. And the other sentry guard goes, that's the sword of Gideon. And like, so Gideon is like overhearing the conversation. And he's going, he looks at his partner and they're like amazed. And they go away. They go, the enemy is afraid of you, Gideon. The enemy is afraid of you. And they know that you are who they know who you are. And Gideon is shocked. What? Me? Right? That's nothing but the sword of Gideon. And it's like the enemy is, they know they're in trouble. The tent going upside down is a picture of defeat. This is the sword of Gideon. I just close with that. I want you and I to understand that we're part of something in this world that is fantastic. That God has sent you and I into this world to do something. We are here to say that we are not going to live in sin. We have our sins. We confess them. We have our weaknesses. We are human beings. But God is greater than our sin. And learn that doctrine, that Jesus paid for the penalty of it, and he also dealt with the power of it. You are not to be under your sin. You're to be over and above and victorious in this life. And give it up. Repent from it. Turn away from it. And come before God. God will give you the teaching, the peace, the strength, the authority, And the enemy will know that you are different. You have something. You have a message. You have a lifestyle. You have love. You have freedom. You have joy. Because you have the Spirit of God. Am I telling you the truth or not? Am I saying it? Is it the way it is or not? It is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. We're like amazing. Let's pay attention. And don't worry if you feel inferior and underneath it all. Like, just be gently listening, caring about God's ways and available to Him. And He will show you and lead you in the spirit of liberty and peace. Amen. Okay. Lord, we can bring to the cross our sinful. There are isolated sins that happen, those we bring. And then there are mental attitude sins that we should deal with at the cross and stay there at the cross and say, Lord, I am stubborn. And that's a sin of witchcraft, like the sin of witchcraft in 1 Samuel. May I linger at the cross and be there and do business there with God and say, Lord, take away my attitude. Maybe an unthankful attitude. That's a worldly attitude, unthankful. But Lord, I'll stay there with you, and please root it out and teach me thankfulness and worship. And then, if you've never accepted Jesus, do it today. Say to Jesus Christ, I need you. I ask you into my life. Come into my life. Make a difference in my life. Make a difference that it would be actually real in me. Make a difference, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.